back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Steve Cochran, Justin Kaufman, Katie Bishop, Dave Ennett, Mary Vandeveld, Paul Vallis. Paul Vallis for all, Chicago.com. Twitter at Paul Vallis, former chief of Chicago schools, wants to be your next mayor. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to see you again. It's been quite a while. Condolences on Mark. I can't imagine how difficult that is, and here you are jumping into this. You never stop moving, do you?
No. And you were talking about retirement. Yeah. You don't get pensions working in New Orleans and Haiti and in Chile, so I think I'm going to be working probably until I'm in my 80s like my father.
Yeah. Well, you know what? All of us, right? But in the meantime, you made quite a bit of news yesterday because, as John Kess said, you came out swinging. Starting with the fact that people don't like Rahm Emanuel. Is likability a big deal in this race?
Yeah, I think likability is a big deal. But also, a bigger deal is performance. And, you know, I just think things have gone wanting the last 7 years. And the city's in big trouble financially. The murder rate exceeds that of L.A. and New York combined. We're all in the Amazon sweepstakes, but one has to ask oneself what has been happening in the neighborhoods the last 7 years. I mean, suddenly we have $2.5 billion for Amazon. If we had $2.5 billion in resources available, just think of the mini Amazons all over the city. And I'm not against Amazon. I mean, the bottom line is the package is there. It's being offered. Hopefully we'll get it. But at the end of the day, there's a lot of communities that have not escaped the 2008 recession. In fact, on the west side, if you've seen some recent articles, there's some communities that haven't recovered from the 1968 riots. So there's a lot of work to do in the city, and I just think the city's in desperate need of new leadership.
The Amazon question is one that comes up all the time, and you know this because it's no big day. It's not a day at the beach running the Chicago school system. You have to make decisions based on priorities and decisions in the moment. So I have no question about your qualifications, but is the Amazon example a fair example of where you feel Rahm has failed?
Well, first of all, I have no fault with competing for the big businesses, but look, classic example is the developer's fee. The developer's fee is being levied on, obviously, downtown developments for the purposes of raising money to distribute to the community. It took them until 2016 to create a developer's fee. Now their money is being allocated to the community with no standards. In fact, City Hall can allocate grants of up to $250,000 without any sort of oversight. Mm-hmm. I mean, what took you so long? It's been a 6-7 year period. I mean, one can argue that, well, I'm unpopular because I'm making the right decisions. Well, the first term, they punted. They punted on pensions. They had no agenda down in Springfield to get what they ultimately got in 2016, 2017, which was state funding for the Chicago Teachers Retirement System. I mean, that alone, that deferment of responsibilities alone, it will probably deprive the pension fund of about $1.5 billion. So at the end of the day, it's kind of the D.C. type politics, you know. You win election and then you immediately prepare for your reelection. You go through the fundraising, you defer making tough decisions. At the end of the day, the consequences are we ultimately pay more in the long run because of the failure to deal with these issues early on.
The mayor's
stupid system.
The mayor's office or the mayor's staff is pushed back, and you know, you had mentioned yesterday about this, there's no real long-term planning when it comes to the Mayor Emanuel. But they pushed back and said a lot of the financial issues that we're facing are from some of the decisions you made back at CPS when punting and skipping pension payments. And there is a lot that gets put on what happened with politicians in the 90s, the mid-90s. So how do you respond to that?
All right. Well, first of all, he's now been mayor for 7 years. Okay. So at some point, you know, you got to take responsibility. You have to own it. When the legislature consolidated the tax levies back in 1995, and the legislature did it, and gave the mayor the power to do that, they gave them the power because they said if certain funds had excess revenues, you could shift those revenues to the classroom. But there are provisions there, and this is really important. There are provisions that said if pension funding falls below full funding, falls below 100%, you had to make a contribution. And when we left the Chicago Public Schools, they not only had a fully funded pension system, 100% funded plus, but we had hundreds of millions of dollars in cash reserves. We had 30,000 more students. We had built 78 new school buildings, and we had 12 bond rating upgrades. And you know as well as I do that rating agencies don't increase your bond rating 12 times if you're kicking the can down the road.
Oh, but, no, they're friendly. They love that.
They love, but here's
my question. The pension business model in 2018, does it work on any level? Because it's bankrupting states across the country. And while everybody that's involved in the pension system deserves to be fully paid for what they've put in, don't we have to fix it going forward?
Well, you do, but the problem is the Supreme Court has got everybody in a straitjacket because attempts, as you know, numerous attempts at the state and local level to get changes, to enact changes, sometimes when they've agreed to by labor, as long as there's somebody out there to challenge that agreement, when it gets to the Supreme Court rules it as being unconstitutional. So whether we like it or not, we're going to have to deal with the funding issue. And I'm not going to shy away from that either.
I mean, so you'd be willing to look at fixing it if fixing it was the appropriate conversation of the day as the mayor?
Well, statutory.
Do you agree that it needs to be fixed?
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. But you're not going to be able to fix it statutorily because we're in a vice. At the end of the day, there has to be a funding solution. There has to be a funding solution because unless you change the Constitution.
Well, let's change the Constitution then. Justin, get that done by noon.
I'm on it.
Katie Bishop is here. Katie, you're a real estate agent. You live in the city. Tell Mr. Vallis, if he's mayor, what you would like to see different or what would make you feel better about Chicago. Right into that microphone.
I think everybody...
Oops, I don't know why I can't hear you. There you go.
I'm here. Here I am.
There you are. You think everybody what?
I think everybody's concern right now is just that the city feels 100% different than it did 10 years ago.
In what way?
I mean, I used to live in East Lakeview. I would walk down the street to my parking garage 9 p.m. I wouldn't think two things about it.
So security.
Security. And now I live in Bucktown, super populated, 20 feet away from Damon, which is, you know, hugely commercial. And I don't walk my dog at night anymore.
Is the crime in the neighborhood for you gone up? Or is it a perception of danger?
I think it's a couple things. I think it's Facebook. I think it's social media telling us every single time there's a pickpocket, a break-in.
Sure.
Maybe I wasn't paying attention 10 years ago when I was in East Lakeview. But
oh, no, I don't think you're alone in that. I think that perception is definitely real, and statistically it's backed up in some neighborhoods. And obviously, as Mayor Paul Vallis, this would be, if it's not job one, it's top three. What do you do about safety in the city?
All right, so let me respond very quickly. When I was city budget director, I sat down with Terry Hillard, and I said, what's the police strength that you need to do the job? He said 13,500 police officers and 1,200 detectives, and that's what we did. We funded it for 3 years. When ROM came in, once again, you have to own it, they literally eliminated close to 2,000 positions. Now, most of those positions had not been filled, but they had, over the years, attrited out those positions because those positions were important at one time. So, basically, the number of police officers was significantly less. But let me tell you something more stunning, was they totally decimated the detectives division. They went from 1,200 detectives to, depending on who you're talking to, 600 to 800. Now, they're trying to build everything back because this is an election year. We're going to get up to 13,600, and we're going to get up to 1,200 detectives. But let me tell you, the decimation of the detectives division and the fact that the new detectives are being hired are, in many respects, they don't have the experience that the old ones have, is why we have a clearance rate on murders of 1 in 6. So it's more than perception, it's reality. And that's why they're shifting police resources all over the city to these trouble spots.
Would you try to commit to never reducing the size of the police force once you get to the number?
I believe you need 13,500 officers. I believe you need 1,200 detectives. I believe you need a restoration of the police patrol, because if you restore and increase the number of school police in the schools, then in the off season when the schools are not in and when the crime rate begins to rise, like in the summer, you can deploy 300, 400 additional police officers to the street. So I would go back to the approach that we took. I would go back to the approach that we took early on. And I'll tell you, I would take a page out of New York. And look, our police department, the rank and file police department, are as fine as officers as anywhere in the country. But in New York, there was a realization 20 years ago when they had 2,200 murders that they needed to get control of crime in the city before they did anything else. And what they did was not only beef up the police, the detectives division, but they brought retired detectives out of retirement so that they could work those cases.
Well, I agree with that. But, Paul, it's not just bodies. As you know, in New York, they also looked the other way on civil rights for quite a while. And by the way, I'm not entirely against that, depending on the circumstances. But that's part of the burden of being the mayor.
Yeah, but let me point out that that, that because of the level of strength and because they maintained that level of strength, guess what happened? That same police, that same rank and file police department with that those same numbers that were dealing with 2,200 murders a year are now dealing with 300 murders a year. So what happens is you have like a compounded benefit. And that's why violent crime, that's why murder has declined by 90%, and it continues to decline despite the fact that they made some changes when it comes to basically, you know, the stop and frisk and things like that. Very controversial. What happened? They made those changes, but what happened? The murder rate continues to decline. You see what I mean? So the bottom line is they really created an environment within which there was great instability within the police department playing with those numbers.
We're out of time, but last question, and by the way, I'm expecting you'll call Katie Bishop directly and tell her how her neighborhood's doing. but last question, Paul. Paul Vallis wants to be your mayor. I firmly believe that this city needs a tough guy in the mayor's office, because without it, the people who sit in those aldermen's chairs would run this city into the ground. There are some fine people who are aldermen, and there are some complete nut jobs, and you got to be tough as mayor. How would you work with city council?
Well, look, I think what you need to bring to the city council is a comprehensive agenda, and the approach that I've always taken is to not do one-year budgets, but multi-year budgets, because if the council sees what the long-term priorities are, if the council sees how the budget is designed to be an investment vehicle, a vehicle that invests in the type of programs and initiatives that improve the quality of life and in turn grow the city, if they can see the forest from the trees, they'll follow. But when everything is political, when every decision to make, the Wintrust Arena or for that matter, you know, you can go through a list of things that seem to be spontaneous, almost spastic in the way they're responding to certain events, you know, that leads to confusion. Leadership is about articulating the vision and then working with the city council so that that vision can be a shared vision. And that's the approach that I've always taken. And I've always gone into contentious situations. I mean, look, I've never taken.
I don't know. I've always said you're a nice guy.
That's right.
And committing multi-year budgets would commit these aldermen to make sure they spend the money appropriately in the wards too.
Absolutely.
That they're not going to be able to change it up in 12
absolutely.
Months.
Absolutely. And that's how we were able to go from a billion-dollar 5-year projected structural deficit in Chicago Public Schools to hundreds of millions of dollars in effect cash reserves and surpluses when we left. We did that because our first budget was a 5-year balanced budget plan, and we stuck to it.
Will you appear on Justin Kaufman's show and be grilled as well?
Anytime.
Talk education.
Absolutely. As long as you want. Any questions?
All right.
Okay.
All right.
And I've also sent out the word that I would love to participate in it. I'm not going to open my own podcast, but I'll participate in anyone's podcast.
The mayor has a podcast?
Well, if he invites me, I'll be more than happy.
Justin, how about that? How about
that? That would be
Justin,
great.
How about that? How about
I'd
if he appears on Rob's podcast?
I love that idea.
All right. How about Justin? Nothing but show business, baby. That's what politics is. Paul Vallis for allchicago.com. Twitter at Paul Vallis, V-A-L-L-A-S. I just wish you were passionate.
Thank you.
Nice to see you, man.
Good to see you.
We'll come back with the headlines in a moment at 720 WGN.